Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to everybody's favorite new show on the Red Pill Project, Morning Coffee, with me, your host, Vince Tagliavia, live with you every Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, just to discuss the news and events of the world and a little bit of health topics for the day, start things off, and then we'll carry on with our work days, our home days, or whatever we do throughout the days. And we reconvene every night at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time for the Daily Dose, Monday through Thursday, hosted by Josh Reed, where he discusses the unfolding global conspiracy, connects all the dots, strings the pearls, and puts all his thoughts out there at the global chaos before us. So tune in tonight at 5:30 for that. But in the meantime, let's go over a little bit of the news that's been unraveling over the weekend and throughout the morning. As always, I like to start with a little bit of health. Health. But also, I want to say good morning to the Red Pill family that has tuned in here live. If you're listening live, I appreciate you. Thank you. If you're listening in the future, hello. Thank you as well. But we've got RMU, Poon Slayer. Good morning to you. Pavona Girl. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in over there on Rumble. Please, everybody, hit those thumbs up and help us out here with a little bit of support with the algorithm and whatnot. And hello, everybody over there on DLive. Let me just double check. Are we good on DLive? Looks like we are firing on all cylinders, folks. Let's get into it. Good morning, Nate. How you doing, bud? Good to see ya. And Kid Billy, good to see ya. Well, let's get into it, folks. We're going to start with health. And we just had Thanksgiving a few days ago, a beautiful time of year where people get together, they give thanks. We see our family and friends, and it could be a tough time for some people as well. But we've got to stay positive. Giving thanks one day a year isn't, you know, I mean, it's good, but why not give thanks more? It comes down to psychology. It comes down to mindset. It comes down to health, because what we think does have a physiological effect on our bodies. There's the placebo effect, the nocebo effect, which is a really fun one. I may write a little article on that here and put that on the Social Red Pill. The Social Red Pill is our private social network, you guys. It's members only now. Soon it'll be transferring to members only. So if you want to try it for free, you might be able to get in there and get a little bit of time. I think also you could get I'm not sure exactly if it's going to be set up this way, but it has in the past to where you could get a free trial, socialredpill.com. Check it out and support decentralized media there. We have a lot of things that aren't available on these platforms here on the Social Red Pill. So you could check that out and support us there. We greatly appreciate it. It's a wonderful social network. So socialredpill.com is the place, link in the description. But giving thanks on that one day, I mean, we need to, giving thanks often is, I think, a healthy habit. So I'm not going to do this every single day. I think in my personal life, I try to, but for the shows, I might, but I found this. If I find something, I'll share it. And this was an email from Steve Jobs to himself on September 2nd, 2010. And it was nice. It was a nice little message to himself. And I guess he was sitting there reflecting. And there's different things that people do in order to give thanks. And a lot of people have things like a happiness journal or a gratitude journal. And there's different exercises people do, which I might do that. That sounds like a fun activity. And actually I do that sometimes. I'll write the things I'm grateful for and I'll talk to people and let them know. And I just like being wholesome, and I think it's nice. And I think it's beneficial to relationships. It's beneficial to your health. I really do. So here's what Steve Jobs wrote in 2010 to himself. He wrote, quote, I grow little of the food I eat, and of the little I do grow, I do not breed or perfect the seeds. I do not make any of my own clothing. I speak a language I did not invent or refine. I did not discover the mathematics I use. I am protected by freedoms and laws I did not conceive of or legislate, and do not enforce or adjudicate. I am moved by music I did not create myself. When I needed medical attention, I was helpless to help myself survive. I did not invent the transistor, the microprocessor, object-oriented programming, or most of the technology I work with. I love and admire my species, living and dead, and am total dependent on them for my life and well-being. Wow. So Steve Jobs that day was reflecting on life, and he came to the realization that he admires and loves his species, humanity, that is. And, you know, without each other, we couldn't function. So it really is a massive network of magic. If you think about it, how remarkable is it? All right. So I wanted to start with that. A little bit of gratitude just to be in wonder and awe of this magnificent world, what we have. So with that said, let's get on with it. It's Monday. Gosh, I woke up really early, and as I do, and holy moly, it was cold. It was crisp. It was a little frozen. Coffee was especially good this morning. I hope y'all have got your fresh cups going, or whatever you do, tea or water. It's all good. Hopefully not vodka or something. It's Monday morning, folks. Come on. Yeah, it took me a minute to get going, but here we are. Let's get on with it here. We've got some concerning things happening in the health front. We've got the first case of swine flu coming up, H1N2 being detected, according to the UK Health Security Agency. Let's watch this quick clip, if I may. Oh, geez, I'm forgetting how to operate. It's been a long weekend. Here we go.
Just hearing from the UK's Health Security Agency that the UK's first human case of the flu strain H1N2, which has been circulating in pigs, has been detected. So this is serious because it's moved from pigs into the human population. It's a single confirmed human case, according to the UK Health Security Agency. It's influenza is similar to the flu virus, is currently circulating in pigs. As is usual, early in this emerging infection, the UK HSA is working closely with partners to work out the characteristics of the pathogen and assess what risks it poses to human health, because they're not sure on that. They say that the case was detected as part of a routine national flu surveillance. The individual concerned experienced a mild illness and has now fully recovered. The source of their infection hasn't yet been ascertained and remains under investigation. Just quickly scanning through it, not telling us whereabouts in the UK it was, it says, but it says that anybody who has any respiratory symptoms should continue to follow existing guidelines, avoiding contact with other people, etc. So this is just to confirm from the Chief Veterinary Officer and the UK Health Security Agency that this disease has transferred from animal to human. It says that this does happen often, but this is why high standards of animal health, welfare and biosecurity are important. A little bit of background on the influenza virus. They are enzootic in swine populations in most areas of the world. Mm. And when an influenza virus that normally circulates in swine is detected in a person, it is called a variant influenza virus. So just to bring you that breaking news again in simple terms, the first human case of the flu strain, which has been circulating in pigs, has been now detected in a human, according to the UK Health Security Agency. And we'll bring you more on that.
So we'll be hearing more about this, I'm sure, or whatever other diseases that are going to become prevalent. This is, you know, what we expect this time of year with the narrative and stuff. And I call today's show More Than Meets the Eyes, because I'm just in this personal opinion space of everything being greater than what meets the eye. For instance, this health thing, it could just seem like an innocent story to many people. But for me, it's like I start going down this road of is this real? Is there a lie? Is this a bioweapon? You know, is this a mechanism of fear? Is this just part of a narrative to control a population? I start thinking of these things. And if it's not, is it going to be taken advantage of for those reasons? I think that a lot of the things that we see are real, but I think that they're also taken advantage of in ways that alter people's psychology, in ways that alter people's actions, and in ways that affect the world at large. And that is the global conspiracy at its finest. When you look at these tiny facets, I think that it's a little bit of bullshit mixed in with a little bit of truth, which makes it hard to dispute these things. And then when you do, it makes it easy for others to say you're just a wild, crazy conspiracy theorist, because partially they're right, partially you're right. And the truth is always right there somewhere in the middle. And that's where we try to navigate, is walking that center path, if you will, you know, as they say. So just wanted to let you guys know that. I mean, there's always more than meets the eyes. Vodka and coffee, blah. My God, Black Jester. Good morning. Good morning to you. So here we go. Onward here. A little bit of health. Health, health, health. I like following Dr. Simon Gotick. He's funny. He's a little bit, you know, I don't agree with everything he says, just like most people. I mean, who agrees with anything, if everything anybody says? I mean, really, when you come down to it. But he said he's, just this morning, he said, I'm feeling a bit asymptomatic today. I should probably get myself tested for swine flu. obviously asymptomatic. You feel asymptomatic. That, I mean, asymptomatic means that you don't have any symptoms, which means that you're perfectly fine and healthy and nothing is weird. So it's just a little bit, just a silly joke that he's making. Based on the COVID narrative where they told people you could be asymptomatic and also be sick and spreading disease, which there may be some truth to that. Like I said, there's this gray area. There's this fine line between truth, and there's this fine line between truth, lies, and then conspiracy. And some, I don't know, it all meets in the middle somewhere. Anyway. Yeah, asymptomatic. Oh, Lord, here we go. Dr. Asim Malhotra tells Joe Rogan that pharmaceutical companies operate as clinically defined psychopaths. This was an interesting take here. I wanted to play this quick clip. I don't watch the Joe Rogan podcast, but I see these clips that people throw together once in a while, and they're pretty great. There is one episode I've been meaning to watch, but since Joe Rogan moved to Spotify, it's just like, I don't use Spotify, and it's, you have to kind of go out of your way to get there, I guess, if you don't use it, and it's kind of annoying. I don't know where else to watch his podcast, but anyway, that's why I don't. It's just not in front of me, but he has some good stuff, and I think he's doing some good for the world here and there.
Legal responsibility to provide profit for shareholders, not to give you the best treatment. But the real scandals are that those with a responsibility, Joe, to scientific integrity, academic institutions, doctors, medical journals, collude with industry for financial gain. And quite often, and I know you discussed, you know, in detail around the whole Vioxx scandal with John, but quite often, the way that these big corporations operate as legal entities, I'm not pointing fingers at people within them. You know, I met Pascal Sauteris, had dinner with him, who's the CEO of AstraZeneca. You know, he even sent me a book afterwards, you know, to my home address. He knows where I live, so I better be careful. But he seemed like a nice guy, right? But in their roles, they are only responsible to their shareholders. But the problem is, and we see this historically, is quite often, and Dr. Robert Hare is a forensic psychologist who was behind the original international, we call DSM criteria for psychopathy. And he says that as these legal entities quite often in the way they conduct their business actually fulfill the criteria for psychopath. So callous unconcern for the feelings of others, incapacity to experience guilt, deceitfulness, conning others for profit. And we have precedent, we have history of that. You know, between 2003 and 2016, most of the top 10 drug companies paid fines totaling about $33 billion for illegal marketing of drugs, hiding data on harms, and manipulation of results. And, you know, and when those crimes were committed, in most cases, they end up making more profit from sales of the drugs than they do from the fines.
Like Vioxx.
So there's no incentive to stop doing what they're doing.
Right.
And ultimately, you know, the patients suffer. But I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here, because someone might say, well, hold on, Dr. Malhotra, but aren't the drug industry responsible for all these life-saving treatments and blah, blah? And yes, they are. But the question is, what is the net effect of them? So if you look at in the last 20 years, so I'll just give you some examples here. Between 2000 and 2008, of the 667 drugs approved by the FDA, only 75% of them were found to be copies of old ones. So the drug companies will change a few molecules here and there on an old drug, rebrand it, rename it, patent it, make lots of money, and then they move on to the next one, right? So there's huge waste. Only 11% of them were found to be truly innovative, as in a therapeutic clinical benefit over the previous drug. So there's all this waste. In France, something similar. Between 2000 and 2011, of almost 1,000 drugs were approved by their regulator. Again, most of them are copies of old ones. But about double the amount of drugs, Joe, 15% of those drugs were approved, were found to be more harmful than beneficial, compared to about 8% that were therapeutic benefits. So what does that mean when you look at it in its totality with the waste and the harm? The overall net effect of the drug industry, in my view, on society in the last two decades has been a negative one.
Wow. That's hard to swallow.
Yeah, that is hard to swallow, which is why a lot of people keep the blinders on and don't want to discuss these things and become defensive when you or I decides to start dropping little red pills about, right? I love that Dr. Asim Malhotra, who I'm going to give a follow. I am following him. Cardiologist, campaigner, best-selling author on a mission to save lives with real evidence-based medicine and real food. Tweets, personal opinion, not medical advice. Yeah, so I like how Dr. Asim applies the definition and analysis of what a psychopath is to a non-human entity, which is the pharmaceutical industry, and specifically just in parts of it, businesses, companies. Analyzing them under this scope, I think, gives you an interesting insight into business is ethical or not. Is it societally beneficial? Why are we going to have these corporations or businesses or industries that are fitting the definition of a psychopath? If they were individuals, that person would be locked up and the key thrown away, right? Or depending on where you are in the world, they could be put to death or whatever based on a trial. So we have a lot of work to do. I mean, that's very concerning. The fact that Dr. Asim says it blatantly there, and Joe Rogan seems to be in agreement, saying it's a hard pill to swallow, that more harm than good is done from pharmaceutical companies, the medical industry. And I think that's probably true based on the things that I could see on the surface here, just based on the little bit I could scratch, just as a normal average person here, you know. But hopefully this wakes people up, man. Thank you, Lisa, for the free ice cream. I appreciate you very much. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Thank you, Army Rangers. Big donation here. Ninja Genie, thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot say that enough. Thank you. Ninja Genie, wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Lisa. Good God. Those Ninja Genies are flooding in. Thank you so much, Army Rangers. Two Ninja Genies, thank you. I appreciate you. Good morning, Summer. How you doing? Two Ninja Genies, wow. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. We got a couple more health stories and we'll move on to some U.S. news and all this other global news and a couple other things that are going on in our world. New York City enacts a law barring discrimination based on weight. I wanted to look at this. The Postmillennial published this article. New York City is leading the nation with this groundbreaking anti-discrimination law. People are protesting for size freedom and all this kind of stuff. And then we see videos of people saying, you know, hotels need to widen their hallways and their elevators, and airlines need to build better airplanes with more space, and resorts need to offer chairs that can hold 400 pounds and all this stuff. I don't think that's what they're talking about here, but let's see. Postmillennial says, New York City just enacted a law banning discrimination against height or weight. Mayor Eric Adams, who just slashed the city's budget by 5% across the board, signed the bill in the spring. This means that in addition to other protected characteristics like age, gender, race, or religion, a person's weight and height will also be considered protected identifiers under the law. Yep, just as I thought. Okay. I mean, that's not a big deal. This law will bring fat discrimination under the jurisdiction of New York's Commission on Human Rights. This is the body that heads up discrimination issues for other identifiers and characteristics such as LGBTQ, race, etc. Commissioner Annabelle Palma said at the time the bill was signed that most forms of appearance-based discrimination have persisted unchecked. The bill was sponsored by Sean Abreu. Okay, so here, this is what it's really about. Quote, "It's also about changing the culture and how we think about weight," he said. Lawmakers in Albany are considering bringing a law that mirrors the one in the Big Apple. So it's about changing the culture in how we think about weight. Interesting. Adams spoke in favor of the bill. The mayor, a health-conscious vegan who undertook an overhaul of the city's public school lunch program and implemented a plant-based diet, said that science has shown the body type is not connected to if you're healthy or unhealthy. I think that's a misnomer that we are really dispelling. So they're saying that being body type is not connected to if you're healthy or unhealthy. There are tons of studies out there that indicate obesity is the leading cause of many diseases. So it's really concerning that they're trying to push this narrative of that's pseudoscience, that's not true, overweight is, you know, it's okay, it's good. Look, I've been obese. We all struggle with health and things and weight and all this stuff. It's okay. And I think we're put in that position by society. This, though, this is psychological manipulation. This is encouraging unhealthy habits, in my opinion. It's just wild to see. And this is, in my opinion, psychological manipulation of people. That's why talk to some people and you'll realize that they completely fall for a lot of the false information out there, disregarding anything else aside from that opinion, which we have to be careful of too, right? Everybody can be a victim of a bias. So we have to try to be level-headed with everything. But this is crazy. I mean, it's not even that far of a stretch to know that this is completely wrong in my mind. Wow. Adam's 2020 book detailed his journey of losing 35 pounds. Okay, good for you. It's wild. This bill was backed by the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, NAAFA. Tigris Osborne, chair of that group, said, "This is such a powerful moment for anyone who has ever faced discrimination simply because of the size of their body." So this is interesting. I wonder what this is going to do as far as lawsuits go. Because let's say I'm hiring for a company that I have, right? And it's a roofing business. I have a team of people and we install roofs on houses and buildings or, you know, whatever, just structures. And a man applies and he weighs 600 pounds. And I come into an interview room and we sit down. He comes in my office and he says, I want to be a roofer and all this. And I mean, is that a good idea for me? Honestly, I would have to really, I'd probably be concerned with, are you able to perform these job duties? And now I'm put in a position in New York City where if I say, you know, you're just not a good fit, he could come back with a lawsuit saying that it's discrimination because of his weight, right? Is that discrimination because of weight? Or is it discrimination because you can't perform job duties because of weight? You know, it's a slippery slope, and the direction will depend on the corrupt justice system that this goes in. But of course, I think that part of the thing that makes these things part of the nuances that make things like this so controversial is it's not right to say, let's say that it was just an office job. Yes, why not hire anybody regardless of certain things, you know, religion and race and this kind of stuff? Who cares, right? Same thing with being overweight. I think that it would be wrong to say, oh, you have to be, you know, 12% body fat or less in order to work here, right? I mean, that's, I think, a little extreme and maybe could fall under this discrimination type of deal. Just like saying we only hire white people, right? That's, we don't see that today, at least if we do, you could get sued. So there is something to it, right? Discrimination. I mean, it's wrong. At the same time, the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, I don't think this has a net benefit for humanity. Fat rights. 1/3 of the world's population is fat. I'm on NAFA.org. They write, yet fat people are discriminated against in all aspects of daily life. So what if I have a business and there's a waiting room and I don't have a seating that can accommodate somebody who's morbidly obese? Is that fat discrimination? And now I need to invest in bigger and more durable chairs? You know, how far is this going to go? Businesses can't afford to do a complete overhaul of everything to accommodate morbidly obese people. Or maybe they'll be forced to, and thing people that can't will go to business. I don't know. They write, for over 50 years, NAFA has worked to make the world a better place for fat people through education, advocacy, and support. We are a multi-generational, intersectional, social justice organization. Okay. Creating opportunity for big-bodied people and building community for fat people and our loved ones. Our work towards equality at every size is changing the world. And then right on their front page, they said, it's official. And they talked about what we just talked about here. The mayor of New York City has signed INT-0209 into law, protecting millions of New Yorkers from height and weight discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodation. Wow. So they do include a public accommodation in this. So if you can't accommodate a fat person or a short person or a tall person, this is just like, I guess there's laws for handicapped people, right? You need to have a ramp. You need to have handicap accessibility in stores, which is why you have like that little table that pulls out and they could write checks on it and stuff. I mean, people don't write checks anymore and things are going to go digital here soon. But I'm just saying you have handicap accessible places. They have little buggies at the supermarkets. So if you're disabled or handicapped, you could jump in their buggy and have accessibility. I don't know if that's a law, but a lot of places do accommodate and a lot of places are required to have ramps and these kinds of things, handicap parking, etc. So now it's the same with the tall, short, fat people in New York. Employment, housing, and public accommodation. So a landlord can be sued for not renting to a fat person if it is discovered that is simply because they are overweight. Which, is that really happening? If I was renting a property or a house out to somebody or an apartment or whatever, and they were overweight, I wouldn't discriminate. I would just, you know, I would evaluate it, but that's not a factor. And so it's kind of interesting. How would that come up? What would a lawsuit for that look like? I think you'd have to have more evidence than just I'm fat and so I'm going to sue you because I didn't get this house. I think you would need a little bit of evidence, but who knows with today's justice system? Who knows? You know, I would hope, but I think that this will be an interesting thing to see unfold. It's very interesting. Gosh, it's a tough thing to talk about. It's very controversial. It's very controversial, but let's see here. Comments. Curious how this will work out with the airline industry. Right, Lisa? Yeah, because their aisles are really cramped. The seats are close together. It's a highly controversial thing among people who are larger. Even not even, you know, I mean, just people that are big in general have a tough time. But this is interesting. Very interesting. Public accommodation. This sounds like they're going to be forced to have a certain structural integrity to things like chairs and wideness of doorways and hallways and things. I wonder if they're going to be detailed in the requirements in order to fall under being fat accepting enough. It's so wild. This is a wild, wild world we live in. And my intention here is not to fat shame in any of this stuff. Like I said, I think that there's ways we could approach this that are respectful, but realistic. This is crazy. I want to take a look at their, and they have a Black Lives Matter thing here on their website, NAFA.org, N-A-A-F-A, campaign for size freedom, because everybody deserves the freedom to thrive. All bodies deserve care, love, and respect. The campaign for size freedom continues the fight to end body size discrimination. The campaign is led by NAFA and FLAIR, the Fat Legacy Advocacy Rights and Educational Project, a project of the law office of Brandy Solovey and supported by Dove. Dove? Like Dove soap? Wow. Fat bias in the news. NAFA is proud to announce the new 2022 study, The Size of It, Fat Bias in the News, created in collaboration with Pamela Majaya, MS-MPH. Click here for more on The Size of It. Fat Bias in the News. They write, a quantitative review of 1 year of national news coverage from December 1st, 2021 to November 30th, 2022 found that in a mere 48 articles about anti-fatness were written or published by traditional news sources, and only 24 spoke about fat liberation or justice in any way. I'll talk about fat liberation or justice. Like I said, we are victims of an unhealthy society. The things that are put in front of us in supermarkets, the way that we're advertised to, and in my opinion, manipulated to buy certain products, the addicting nature of things like sugar, which contribute to things like obesity, which, as I said, there are a lot of studies that show have negative health impacts on our bodies and contribute to the cause of many diseases. However, I think that to a certain extent, fat people should be accommodated for, you know, plus size clothing. I mean, we have it, and some fat people still struggle with finding things that are good for them, and there's a market for it, and it's there. But I think that there's a difference between having things that are there for people that need it and encouraging this type of thing. I don't think it's good to encourage something that is unhealthy, right? And I think that's where it's taking this. Like, if somebody, let's say, is vulnerable and is looking for acceptance, and the only place they could find acceptance is this group of people that want, that encourage, be big, be proud, be huge, let's go gorge and not talk about health and just all that's misinformation. I think that's not good for society as a whole. And this comes from a place of respect. It does. It's not a thing of like fat is bad, fat is gross, or anything like that. We all have fat, all right? We need fat. As a matter of fact, we do. So fat, it's not fat, it's health is the problem here. Anyway, controversial, I know. And let me know what you guys think about this. I think it's a psychological warfare campaign is what I think. And I think it's a part of the mission to depopulate and keep people unhealthy, dependent on pharmaceuticals and all that kind of thing. That's what I'm talking about. There's always more the eye, and it bridges. It's there's the bullshit. There's the truth. There's the truth that's taken advantage of with bullshit. And then there's the conspiracy, and then there's the bullshit conspiracy. And then there's something in the middle where there's that sweet spot, the truth. And that's what we try to find. So good God, this is crazy, y'all. And last but not least, we have France. ExposeNews.com published this. The French government takes aim at COVID conspiracy theorists and complementary and alternative medicine in a draft bill to combat sects. S-E-C-T-S. Sects. They write, in mid-November, the French Senate reviewed a draft law that aims to crush dissent using hefty fines of up to 15,000 euros and threat of jail time. Anyone daring to criticize medical treatments could fall foul of this law. Considering the COVID vaccines are safe and effective, false narrative propagated by the government, this law is nothing short of outrageous. It's aimed at strengthening the fight against sectarian excesses. This is what they wrote in the bill. This bill is aimed at strengthening the fight against sectarian excesses, specifically in health. On announcing a renewal of their partnership with the National Council of Physicians, Council Ordre des Médecins, CNOM, the Interministerial Mission for Vigilance and the Fight Against Sectarian Abuses, said. Given the public's enthusiasm for therapeutic practices that are not scientifically validated, the search for well-being and professional and personal development, and due to the rise of training courses, awareness, diplomas not recognized by the state, patients may find themselves abused or exposed to therapeutic abuses, particularly sectarian ones. It's true. So there's some truth there. Yeah, but I don't think the intentions of this are good. Sectarian means it's coming from a sect. It's just, you know, kind of like you could also say something like cult, I suppose. Maybe it's not the perfect synonym, but similar. Group. You know, yes, you can't trust everything you see online, especially from sources that aren't the experts. But at the same time, what have the experts failed on over and over again? And, you know, we have to use our own research. And that's part of the Red Pill Project's motto is don't believe anything anybody says until you could validate it under your own volition with your own research and study and your own path. I think that's a healthy thing to do. And of course, that's why we see a narrative of, oh, did you do your own research? Let's do your own research. That's a good one. You're too stupid to do your own research. You need to listen to the professionals exclusively. They don't have any crazy conspiratorial agenda or any influences. It's true. We need to be careful with our health. We can't just believe anything that we see, right? And also, we have to remember that when we decide to do things, try a new supplement or a new anything, that we do so in the safest way we can, because everybody's unique and has different characteristics, and things affect everybody different, which is why If you're doing anything and you have any questions and you don't fully understand it, it is actually a good idea to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You have to find a doctor or a professional who has their head on their shoulders right and who you trust and who you could then talk to. Take that information, validate it to the best of your ability, and then move forward from there in order to protect your health. Putting all the power into these things and government isn't the answer. I think it's a societal thing that society could do just fine if given the right tools and circumstances. Anyway, y'all, remember to stay active and do something a little bit for your body today. Get that blood pumping, all right? Go for a walk, eat healthy, stay hydrated, all these little things that we do in order to stay healthy overall. Figure it out. We're all trying to, I know. But if you want more on health, we do do a lot of health topics over on the Social Red Pill. We have a detox group where we talk about a lot of different health things. And so you can support us by joining the Red Pill Project at socialredpill.com. All right, onward. Let's get on with it. Biden is skipping the COP climate meeting in Dubai. This came out this morning. The U.S. President Joe Biden will not attend a gathering of world leaders focused on climate change in Dubai this week. U.S. officials said yesterday. It's probably just too unhealthy. Who knows? He's busy, okay? He's got a lot of things on his plate. Just kidding. I don't know. But onward. Let's take a look at the Irish Green Party senator. I'm not sure of her name. What is it? I'm not sure. But listen to this crazy craziness. Let's see here. Share.
Think about it. All law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good. When you think about
restrict those freedoms for the common good, that, my friends, is a result of equity. We are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. Yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. This is how they're doing it, y'all. Equity. That's equity, folks. Don't you want equity? Tyrants. For the common good. Ooh, yikes. We've got the Paris mayor Anne Hidalgo quitting X. She wrote a long rant. She'll probably be back. This is just part of the attack on Elon Musk. Paris mayor Anne Hidalgo quits X, calling it a global sewer. Here's a part of what she said. Far from being the revolutionary tool which initially allowed access to information for the greatest number of people, Twitter has in recent years become the weapon of mass destruction of our democracies. Anne, this is a constitutional republic here in the USA, and you could take your commie ass somewhere else then, because right now it looks like Elon is there to stay. And we got this story from Loudoun County. It's about their school board. This is a few days old, but I haven't had the chance to cover it. And I just wanted to shuffle in a little bit of positive news here today. Billboard Chris said that there's tremendous news about the Loudoun County School Board. Loudoun County is full of DC swamp creatures and featured the school board that tried to cover up the sexual assault of a girl in the girls' bathroom by a boy in a dress, if you recall that. He said, note that the media didn't call him a trans girl because that didn't suit their narrative. Suddenly he was a boy, not trans. Anyway, they all got voted out. Good riddance. This is in response to the Casuist saying those stories had much of the same effect on me. Billboard Chris is a remarkable man. Sometime after this video was made, the voters of Loudoun County here in Virginia elected an entirely new school board. So there's hope. Excellent interview as always. This is in response to a discussion about that. Wowee. The people have spoken. There you go. See? Good things can happen in Wonderland. We've got news about Argentina's new president-elect, Javier Milei, and Eduardo Verástegui. I don't know how to pronounce these words. I apologize. But they've signed an agreement to eradicate all child trafficking in Argentina. Leading report.com published this article. They said that Argentina's president, Javier Milei, or president-elect, and Eduardo Verástegui, I don't know, signed an agreement to eradicate any type of child trafficking in Argentina. Milei recently met with a Sound of Freedom producer who is running for president of Mexico and struck an agreement to collaborate to end child sex trafficking. Also, he came out, President Javier Milei confirms he is shutting down the Central Bank of Argentina, saying it is non-negotiable. President Javier Milei confirms he is shutting down the Central Bank of Argentina, saying it's non-negotiable. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. He also did this. He keeps his promise and has announced that he will... he announced that the Argentinian Ministry of Women, Gender, and Equality will close in 21 days. This broke about a week ago. But he's taking these actions and moving forward on these different really big things in Argentina, which is just insane to see. Very interesting. I don't know if he's a good guy, a bad guy, corrupt or not, but he's saying a lot of things people like and not just talking the talk, but apparently starting to walk the walk. We'll see what happens. Wow, shutting down the central bank. That's something. Onward. Let's talk about this. Oh, we had this interesting story of this man. I'm not sure who he is. We'll look at it, though. So this guy here. An arrest was made after three Palestinian students were shot in Vermont. The suspect has been identified. The Gateway Pundit wrote an article on this. So, three top Palestinian college students were shot in what is being characterized as a bias attack. The victims, who were attending work institutions such as Harvard, Brown University, and Trinity University, were targeted while on their way to a family dinner in Vermont's bustling city of Burlington, the New York Post reported. Two of the individuals were in intensive care, with one suffering from extremely critical and severe injuries. Violence is never good, I will say that. But here is the press release. A second press release update, suspect arrested. So it says here, throughout the day on Sunday, November 26, 2023, investigators led by Lieutenant Michael Bellevue, sorry, lost my place here, of the Burlington, led by Lieutenant Michael Bellevue of the Burlington Police Department, Police Department's Detective Services Bureau conducted a series of canvasses, interviews, and other investigative procedures in an effort to identify, locate, and apprehend the suspect believed to have shot the three 20-year-old men the previous evening. The BPD's detectives were augmented by a contingent of personnel from long-term partners in the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, with whom the BPD regularly works. Okay. So ATF agents who were conducting the canvas at the location of the shooting encountered and detained Jason J. Eaton, 48. Detectives worked with the Office of the U.S. Attorney for the District of Vermont and with the Chittenden County State's Attorney, Sarah George, to complete a search warrant for Mr. Eaton's residence in the apartment building in front of which the shootings took place. A judge granted the search warrant, and officers executed it at 21:53 hours. Evidence collected during that search warrant and additional evidence developed during the course of the investigation gave investigators and prosecutors probable cause to believe that Mr. Eaton perpetrated the shooting. He has been arrested and is expected to be arraigned on Monday, November 27th, 2023, which is today. So he has been arrested in connection with these shootings. This is him. Jason Eaton, his Twitter is private. His Twitter was weird, I tell ya. Let's see if I could find the screenshot of it. You always have to wonder, brainwashing. You always have to wonder, social destabilization, mind control, these kinds of things that people say is big conspiracy and far out there and all this. Not to me. Let's see. His name is Jason Eaton. I saw this earlier. Let me see if I could pull this up again. His account is odd. He obviously seems like a crazy person. So here it is. The screenshot. Let's see. So this is his protected account, private account on Twitter. Jason James Eaton, Heartfire America, at Jason J. Eaton. His bio says, radical citizen, patrolling democracy and capitalism for oath creepers. And he spelled patrolling weird. He spelled democracy with a CK, capitalism with capitalism, and oath keepers with oath creepers. And then he has an atom and then a hashtag wild type. Location parallel universe, joined in 2018, following 5K, 431 followers. And he has a picture that says, libertarians want trans furries to be able to protect their cannabis farms with registered machine guns. What? He seems to be a little unhinged and crazy just based on this. What is this about? So to me, it seems like a crazy person, okay? And I always wonder if these people are under the influence of some bigger scheme. This could lead to protests and further social destabilization as far as this whole Israel, Palestine, Hamas, Jews, Christians, black, white, fat, skinny, this and that narrative goes. So that's why I'm pointing it out. But onward. More than 100 climate activists have been arrested after a two-day blockade at Newcastle Coal Port in Australia. We're seeing all these climate goons all around the world gluing themselves to things and interfering with our commerce and infrastructure and daily commutes. Sky News reported that police said five juveniles were among those detained after what the Rising Tide activist group called the biggest act of civil disobedience in Australia's history. Rising Tide activists. I wonder if they have a website. They probably do. Probably well-funded. The only thing that comes up is all this. Here, risingtide.org. They all have paddle boards. Okie dokie. Who we are? We are a rising tide of ordinary people called by extraordinary times. We are a diverse movement demanding Australia honors our commitment to the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. We are prepared to take whatever peaceful actions within our power to defend the climate. Okie dokie. We stand with frontline communities for climate justice. And they have the different colored skin tone hands embracing wrists. So it's a woke group. They really, 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 really care about diversity. And look, we all do. I don't care your color. You're fine in my book. But what is up with this? I think it's one of those things. Once again, it's a little bit of truth taken advantage of. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, if you're brown, if you're this or if you're that. Okay, I don't care. But this is taken advantage of by these woke groups and this social destabilization aspect of things. They are so concerned with biodiversity that look at all of the biodiversity in their rising tide picture here, which is from this one of their gatherings, which may be the one that we're talking about now. It's a bunch of white people, y'all. I don't see one person of color or also they're apparently discriminating against fat people too here. I mean, gosh, for being so inclusive, I would think I'd see a little bit, no rainbow flags. I don't see any people, no black people, no brown people. Oh my gosh. I don't know. We need to use our greatest superpower, civil resistance. We must unite against Australia's biggest contributor to climate change, which, in their opinion, is boats. Or, not boats, but, you know, tankers or whatever. Big boats. Let's see what they say about using our greatest superpower, civil resistance. From the 40-hour working week to the vote for women, from U.S. civil rights to Indian independence, to fights against uranium mining in Kakadu, the Franklin Dam, and gas fracking, civil resistance has time and again brought people-powered victories. Civil resistance is the sustained, nonviolent, escalatory use of disruption by ordinary people to win against injustice. It's brought us so much that we value in our society today. It's interesting, folks. I think it's a scam. I think these things are scams. Holy smokes. Frequently asked questions. Oh my gosh. They kayak and they block ships. That's crazy. Police. So this is them. All paddleboarding and getting in the way. More than 80 climate protesters have been charged after activists blocked a major coal port. They blocked it for more than 30 hours trying to stop coal exports. Wow. Smart. Insane. Onward. Let's talk a little bit about the immigration happening in the U.S. The borders are still wide open. Who knows how many terrorists have come over. Border Hawk is an account on Twitter that covered this, and they have a video here that we could check out.
I'm Efrain Gonzalez, correspondent with Border Hawk News. This is how mass migrant crossings are carried out at Eagle Pass.
We followed this large group of migrants who left the only shelter that is open in Piedras Negras just at sunset. Most of these people do not know how to get to the river. However, through GPS, they obtain the exact location where forklift tractors raised the razor wire last October. We accompanied this caravan that walked for an hour in the darkness to reach the crossing point. The migrants said they were angry that Mexican authorities sent them to cross into this dangerous area of the river at night.
¿Por qué migración hizo eso? De sacarnos de la casa de las monjas a que nosotros cruzáramos el río sabiendo que eso estaba hondo. Cuando la cuar, hay muchas personas que cargan niños.
The crossings of these GPS-guided caravans have become much more frequent in Eagle Pass this November.
Border Hawk News. Basically, the takeaway from here is that this is coordinated. This is Coordinated by government. I mean, they're given GPS coordinates of locations where they are aiding them in getting past border barriers like razor wire and things. GPS locations on how to illegally enter the United States. If this isn't like some kind of plan, I don't know what it is, y'all. They think we're stupid or something. They need to close that border. Here we have the post-millennial talking about this story. San Diego airport overrun after 300 migrants move in. Last week, I counted 308 people sleeping over. It's a quote they have here. So, Sarah Higdon wrote, hundreds of illegal immigrants have taken to sleeping at the San Diego airport for days after being processed by Border Patrol agents as they wait for their flights to leave. So this happens all the time. They counted 308. Wow. This happens all the time, all over the country. So wild. So wild. That's only 308. We're talking millions of people total coming over or have come over. All right. Well, here's a clip from Fox News. Let's check this out. I mean, is Fox good? Are they bad? Well, I think it's part of that gray area. There's always more than meets the eyes. Let's see.
Continue to come in. We are. I will say too, we're live on air. So, but you know, what do you think about what the mayor's doing, and what should the president and the White House be doing?
This is up to us. This is up to each and every one of us to stand up. Nobody's coming here for us.
Right.
We're here for ourselves. If we don't get up and fight for our city, nobody's coming for us. They're coming to destroy it. The reason why they're here is to steal our votes.
Right.
We're not going to be able to live. They're stealing our votes, our kids' future, my birthright, our United States' great city that I refuse to leave. Do you understand? Nobody's coming for us. These elected officials aren't even elected. They're using absentee ballots. They're being selected.
They're operating without.
What did you think that AOC, you know, when she came out and other members of Congress and they had this press conference, what did you think about their comments?
They will never be allowed to walk down the streets again.
Yes.
They have destroyed our city and New York, especially Queens,
has
woken
up. Let's pull away from this. You see the anger among
migrants.
Yeah, let's pull away from that. We don't want too much truth on Fox News. The public is almost fully awakened, and we can't even go out and question them without pushing the narrative that we're told to from the great overseers. Yeah, of course. Let's, all right, that's enough. Right, all right. Okay, Fox, we see. I mean, we saw during the stolen coup election in 2020, and we still continue to see that you're greatly corrupt, and you are seem to be completely controlled, just like all the rest of it. Mainstream media. And James O'Keefe is under attack, as always. He's trying to understand. He posted this the other day, yesterday. He said, I'm trying to understand the SSSS designations on my domestic boarding passes. Apparently, he was having issues flying, and he was put on what is typically used as a terrorist watch list, and is having issues with his flights, which he flies all the time. So it's just he's thinking that it's a biased targeting of him because he is a journalist exposing the creepy lies that are infecting many things in our society. An interesting story there by James O'Keefe, OMG, O'Keefe Media Group. We've got a lot of protesters, man. A lot of protesters because of the conflict, Israel-Palestine, Israel-Hamas conflict, and among other conflicts, Ukraine, Russia, others as well, Hezbollah, all this stuff going down. Pro-Palestinian protesters have shut down the Manhattan Bridge in New York City yesterday. We're going to see more, folks.
Ceasefire, not genocide. President Biden, take our side. Ceasefire, not
They're chanting ceasefire or genocide. President Biden, pick a side. All right, that's enough of that. You know, look, and I'm not saying it that way because I don't care about people's lives or this or that. I say it because I've said it three times this episode. There's always more than meets the eye. I think that we should have peace and freedom across the board, regardless of who you are or where you're born and this kind of thing, right? So war is bad. Regardless of circumstances, right? Violence is bad. War is bad. I don't like it. Okay. But this division, I think, is some of it's organic, some of it's passion. But I also think that it's taken advantage of by governments. It's infiltrated by organizations like the FBI historically. You could look back and know that as a fact. So I think that it poses risks for society. And that we should be aware of those things. All sides of the coin. Okay. Regardless of where you stand with your opinions on the conflicts and different groups of people and what should happen. I think that the social destabilization is just a problem. I do. So this isn't to be misconstrued as that I don't believe in free speech. I think that it's important, and that yes, we do, and that all people should be able to express that. But I think that we have to be careful of corruption as well, and political agendas, and who's funding, and all this stuff. I mean, there's always more than meets the eyes. All I'm saying, always ask yourself why, how, what, all the questions. We had a train derailment in Kentucky that sparked a fire 2 days ago. It was the derailment of a chemical train in a town in Kentucky. It created a fire and a sense of fear among residents in Rock Castle County. Our homes are empty. People are scared. People needed medicine. If they don't bring it, a scar situation all the way around, said resident Cindy Bradley, who evacuated after the derailment. It's very interesting. We keep seeing these derailments, many of them come with train cars that have chemicals in them over and over again. It's always brushed under the rug. And don't worry, it's not bad for your health. Don't worry. It's just a coincidence, folks. Well, we should see another derailment or two or three this week if things continue the way they have with the crumbling infrastructure or sabotage. It could be sabotage. Who knows? The story's gone. There's talks right now that they might extend the ceasefire that was going to end today after an exchange of various people between Hamas and Israel, etc. Apparently, there have been 58 people released since Friday. Right now, we're waiting on confirmation on if this ceasefire will continue and more people will be released or not, or what's going on. So stand by for that. So today it might be the end of the 4-day truce. We'll see more on that. We don't know yet. At least that's where I'm at, unless something just broke and I'm missing it. We've got a lot going on. But nobody's talking about Russia. No one's talking about Ukraine. I mean, they're both still bombing the shit out of each other. I think one of the largest attacks in Russia just occurred with drones. And the same thing goes for Kyiv. Or I don't know if it was in Kyiv, but in Ukraine, they're getting bombarded with drones as well. So this war is still hot and active. No one's really talking about it, except we hear Zelensky begs for money again. Somebody just sent him a bunch of gold. Who sent him gold? And then Russia's not happy about it. It was like less than $100 million, but let's see here. Gold. Here we go. No, that's not it. Gold. Okay. Well, the story is not here. Anyway, someone was sending him like artifacts and gold, some other country, and it's kind of odd. I thought it was odd. But we'll talk about gold more in a second. Newsweek. China confronts U.S. warship as tensions grow over Flashpoint. They drove it away. So China's military has said it had driven a U.S. warship from waters, it claims, in the South China Sea at the weekend and accused the U.S. of being the biggest destroyer of peace and stability in the region. Oof. So just some more escalations and interactions between various countries' militaries. We have Slovakia over there refusing to be part of the WHO pandemic treaty, which is an interesting development from Slovakia. People, this is the different heads of the Hydra and the different areas of control being resisted, the different heads of the Hydra biting each other. Russia delivers 25,000 tons of free wheat to Somalia. We've seen Russia doing things like this, providing free aid to various countries in Africa. The East African country will become the first recipient of Moscow's food aid initiative. A cargo ship carrying 25,000 tons of humanitarian wheat from Russia will arrive in Somalia in the next few days, the East African nation's news agency SANA has reported. What are they preparing for? We have China storing a bunch of grain too, right? Oh, you got to wonder, what do they know? We've got much more news. We'll cover quickly because I got to go. My phone's just ringing here already. Yeah, so there's always more than meets the eyes. And I think this is the case for Elon Musk. Elon Musk visits the destroyed homes of residents of Kibbutz Kfar Aza who were massacred by Hamas on October 7th. So Elon Musk does that, which was interesting to say the least. It's just interesting. I mean, I think it's... All I'll say is there's more, there's always more than meets the eye. So, Elon's there taking photographs, interestingly enough. Okie dokie. And this fits in the whole thing somewhere. Elon Musk, I don't know, man. I think I'm sitting on the fence with him. I'm like, he does good things, he does bad things. I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing. I'm just asking myself these questions about why? Is there more? And there could be. Let's talk a little bit about finance and then we'll get on with our days here. Wall Street Silver said that the Federal Reserve is deeply insolvent, but it's not a problem until it is. And they published this liabilities and capital, liabilities, earnings, remittances due to the U.S. Treasury Wednesday level. Oof. So this shows the Fed is losing money every week. Just absolutely nosediving. They wrote, the Federal Reserve. Oh, they said when a company makes losses, which wipe out its capital and reserves, it is said to be insolvent. The same thing applies when its assets have declined in value by more than its capital and reserves, unrealized losses. When you are insolvent, it's generally time to call in the receivers. Many banks around the world are facing losses on the bonds they bought when interest rates were close to zero. As interest rates rose, those bonds fell in place. A 2% bond is worth less than a new 5% bond. That's exactly what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. They bought a bunch of low-yielding bonds. Then interest rates rose, causing the price of those bonds to fall. Not a good recipe for banks or the Federal Reserve, for that matter. Median new home sale price tumbled to the lowest since August 2021. Existing home prices still barely budging as sellers have no motivation to sell. And we've talked about this. People don't want to sell their homes. They may have them on the markets, but they don't want to lower the prices. That's for sure. And here's the chart from 2000 to 2023. Median new versus existing home sale price. Median new home sale price is in red, and median existing home sales price is in green. So there you have it. Whatever happened to the housing crash? Houses are selling in under a week and above asking price. There's so much just contradictory information out there. What do you guys think about the housing markets? How is the housing market in your community? Do you follow it? What's going on? Are you buying a house? Are you selling a house? I'd be curious to know your evaluation of the situation where you are. So you could tell me that either in a comment, or you could hit me up on the social Red Pill or x.com or something. But that's Wall Street Silver saying, showing that houses are selling for above asking price still, interestingly enough. But there's a lot of people who can't afford to buy homes, right? Especially for the price they are today compared to what they were 5 years ago, which in some places have like doubled and all this crazy stuff. But Wall Street Silver said, they just pointed out that there are 2 million realtors out there hunting for listings and buyers. So we could see some job issues with that, or people looking for other professions as they can't make ends meet, as we see issues with home buying and selling, or, you know, that starts to get worked out somehow, some way. Not looking good, but here's a solution. Business Insider reported this. My God. Turning a tiny fraction of America's dead strip malls into housing could create 700,000 new apartments. Oh my God. They want to create your dead strip mall in your town into apartments. Older vacant strip malls offer a promising opportunity to create much needed new housing. A new report found that converting 10% of strip malls into housing could create 700,000 new homes. After finding the right site, the challenge is overcoming regulatory and financial hurdles. Don't worry, we know who you have to send money to get around the regulatory and financial hurdles. Just need to buy some politicians. It's really cheap. That's what George Soros said. It only costs you a few grand here or there. Control things at the local level. That way you can take over things at the bigger level. And eventually you can own a president and run a government with a shadow government. Ask Barry and his beautiful wife. Totally a girl. Here we go. Banks are closing. America's sixth largest bank announces closure of 19 additional branches nationwide after closing 203 branches in 2023. Good God. More banks closing. The Gateway Pundit reported this, and they are talking about PNC, corporate PNC. PNC. Wow. All right, y'all. Well, that's it. And that's that. That's what we got for today. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, hit those thumbs up. I appreciate y'all very much. Thank you, Army Rangers and Jenica and Nate and Lisa and everybody who's donated and supporting and is supporting of everything that the Red Pill Project does. I appreciate you guys very, 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 very much. And I can't express that enough. So thank you all, and we'll be back again. We'll have more shows throughout the day, and then we'll have Josh Reed's Daily Dose at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So catch that. Also, please, if you want more from Josh and me, and you want to meet the Red Pill family and share things as well and join the Red Pill community, you can socialredpill.com, sign up and join us there at our private social network and support decentralized media. socialredpill.com. And thank you, Summer, so much for the ice cream. All right, y'all. That's it, and that's that. Take care. God bless, and Godspeed.
Either we will get the full cooperation of other governments to stop this menace, or we will expose every bribe, every kickback, every payoff, and every bit of corruption that is allowing the cartels to preserve their brutal reign. And it is indeed brutal.
And they call me Eye Patch McCain.
I haven't, look. Frankly, if you look at the media, where the media is a closed media, we don't have an open, free media anymore. They don't want to hear anything. They don't write about it. It's collusive. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. It all happened during this period of time. It happened just before the election. They wouldn't talk about certain subjects that you know better than anybody, Michael. And, that's the beginning of communism.